What's going on, AWP fans? We'd like to dedicate this episode to the memory of the original Angry One, my grandfather, who passed away last week. Affectionately known as Grumpy, Anthony Maduri. Probably one of the funniest men I have ever known. And for all those who wonder where that persona I play comes from, it's him. Multiplied by 100, of course. May you rest in peace. We'll always love you, Grumpy.
Hey, since when do they let marks in the fucking Rumble?
What are you talking about, Ronda Rousey?
I said in the Rumble, not at the Rumble. I was talking about the Bellas. I didn't know they fucking wrestled.
Yeah, they fucking wrestle. They don't just fuck wrestlers, ma.
Oh, Tony.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
All right.
All right. Let's just start it like this. Fuck it.
No, we gotta have the all right.
There it is. You did it already. Let's go.
I gotta sell a shirt, you know? So this is episode 178. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I am your Mark of Marks, Credo. I'm trying that out this week.
I am that guy that gets blocked by everybody on Twitter lately. I'm Minority Mike.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. And I'm everyone's favorite asshole, the social assassin, Angry Cooter, bitches.
Wow. Welcome to the road to WrestleMania. Guys, we just left a Royal Rumble weekend filled with NXT takeovers and two Rumbles. Oh, my. Guys, what was your favorite thing about this weekend? We had some historic things happen this week, from a women's first ever Royal Rumble to another Rumble to another show, NXT. I don't know, guys. NXT versus the main roster again this weekend. What did you think?
The greatest part about the weekend was the entire NXT card. I mean, that championship match, Andrade Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano. I know you're not a Gargano fanboy, Credo. I know you hate him. He's close to the list of Credo. I get it. But you know what? If you're not a fan of him now, you should just stop watching wrestling altogether, because that was fucking incredible. Probably one of the best matches I ever see. Dare I say better than Okada and Omega.
Hmm.
All three of them, I might add.
You know what? I can't even argue with you on that one, because that match was incredible. That was the best match of the weekend. The Royal Rumble definitely brought it. The main roster, they brought it. I thought it was one of the best Royal Rumbles they've had in years. But it just still didn't match up to the quality of NXT. That show was just incredible. Like, I don't want to repeat what Cooter said, but that main event was just incredible. And Credo, I am sorry, but Gargano is probably one of the best pure baby faces they have in professional wrestling right now.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't have Jason Jordan heat on me. It's just one of those guys. I'm not a fan yet, maybe. So I ain't stopping everything in my tracks to watch all of his matches, but that match was incredible. A lot of incredible matches. I mean, Aleister Black, incredible match with Adam Cole. Follow that, ECW. A lot of things. Even the Velveteen Dream had a great match. An incredible opening, too. Opening match with the whole mouthpiece on the pillow and everything. And he's really finding his own into that character, right?
That crowd was so into it. I mean, when the pre-show happened and he said he was going to knock out Cassius Ohno in 30 seconds or less, and then that crowd, the second the bell rang and they started counting down from 30, and when he actually connected with 10 seconds left, that place went nuts. I mean, they're so into this character. I'm into it. I'm all in with it. It was incredible. And you say that, you know, Aleister Black, Adam Cole, I mean, they, at one point before the main event, I was like, holy shit, how is the title match going to follow this match? This match is incredible. And they did, and more. The whole card just had me sitting on the edge of my seat. It was great.
I want to throw something else out there about that card. And I'm not doing this just to piss you off. I actually did enjoy the Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon match. I hated the finish because, I mean, she's in an arm bar for like 3 fucking minutes. Can we just get to the roll up a hell of a lot quicker? I mean, Mike, you damn well know if she's in an arm bar for 5 seconds, anybody is going to be tapping like that. I mean, come on. That's like one of the most painful maneuvers ever in mixed martial arts, and you're going to tell me that she's sitting there for 3 minutes practically rolling around. The finish ruined that match.
The rest of it
was actually pretty damn good. Mm.
I will tell you right now, if Amber Moon can withstand an armbar like that, then put her in there against Ronda Rousey. Because Ronda Rousey is the queen of armbars. That's how she won the majority of her fights. So throw Ember Rose in there. She could survive the armbar. She could survive Ronda Rousey. That's pretty much what they just told me. Did I say Amber Rose?
Yes,
Amber Moon. Amber Moon. Excuse me, guys. Amber Moon. That's how much.
Porn stars on the mind, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe I was watching a little Pornhub before I came on. Don't judge me. Everybody watches a little bit.
It's keyboard sticky, folks. I'm just telling you.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, everybody craps on Shayna Baszler. I thought this was one of her best matches I've seen.
Yes.
I thought she's getting better in the ring. She told a great story. It wasn't the best match of the night. I mean, but it was good for Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm. I'm still on the fence with this Baszler thing. I think I'm still on the fence with MMA people. You know, those people. No, I'm on the fence with MMA people coming in, and they don't really adapt to wrestling right away. It's just they come in, and they're still in the MMA world. Like, hey, this is a... You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I mean, hair up, square up, right? I don't know. I'm not feeling it yet. She is on partial on my list. She's with the Jason Jordans and stuff. It's one of those things. I just don't like her right now. Maybe I will in a few months and I'll eat my words. But right now, she ain't doing anything for me. But guys, ahead on the show, if you're tuning in, Bill DeMott is going to be joining us. You remember him from Tough Enough. He was in town this past weekend. We got to talk to him. We're going to find out a little bit more what he had to say, so stay tuned to that. Guys, like I said, we are on the road to WrestleMania. So I figure we have a few weeks till WrestleMania. I figure every so often on the show, we're going to bring up some wrestlers, and maybe we can book them to how we would want to see their road to WrestleMania unfold. Maybe we'll be right. Maybe we're too wishful thinking about the possibilities in their career leading up to WrestleMania, but I think it'll be fun. We'll be talking about that, so make sure you guys stay tuned. Once again, really quick, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. We are bringing in Lanny Poffo March 2nd and 3rd. He's going to be at WrestleFest for Northeast Wrestling in Waterbury, Connecticut, followed by the next day in Poughkeepsie, New York at Darkside Records with a special Q&A event. And then that night, he'll be a little out of town at Heroes Hideout in Rensselaer, New York from 5 to 7. So kind of the tri-state area. You'll be able to meet Lanny Poffo with us, Another Wrestling Podcast. Once again, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com has all that info, when, where, why, who, what, whatever. But guys, once again, it's been a crazy week. Let's get right into the week that was, shall we? First and foremost, Rumble weekend aside, we'll get back to that in a few seconds. The talk of the talk, and it isn't about the 30 women main eventing the Royal Rumble. It was about Ronda Rousey, her little entrance into the WWE. People didn't know what to think of it right away, but she has been signed as a full-time WWE wrestler, guys. Full-time. Maybe she'll do some movies on the side, but she is not going back to the MMA world in the foreseeable future. Guys, are we going to be welcoming Ronda Rousey into the WWE now? Are you excited? Or you want to get rowdy?
No. I'm not. Listen. Can we just start off? We have this historical moment. We have the first women's Royal Rumble where we got to see the best of today, the best of yesterday. What are you sticking your thumb down for?
Oscar,
stick that thumb up your
ass.
We'll
talk about that later, but it's okay.
That's fine. But, I mean, I was popped that whole match. I mean, we had Trish. We had Tori Wilson. God, Mrs. Undertaker looked fantastic in the ring. Michelle McCool surprised the shit out of me. And, you know, I don't really like how Sasha Banks is like, I wasn't there for like 50-plus minutes. No, you weren't. You were outside the ring for half the fucking time, taking a breather. That aside, we see this great match. We have a great ending. And from what it looks like, it means nothing because Ronda Rousey decides that she's going to point at the WrestleMania sign. Who gives a fuck about you? So everything I watched was just irrelevant. I got invested emotionally into this match. For what? For some bitch who could not stop smiling, who looked like a fucking mark getting in the ring?
I do want to say on that, with that note, I am still confused as to who Asuka is even fighting, because she couldn't even say it this week on who's Asuka fighting. I mean, does it make the women's championships look less on that pedestal when maybe Asuka's going to fight Ronda Rousey? I mean, I still don't know who she's fighting.
It's weird that they like made them make the decision right on the spot. Like, I'm just kind of like, if I won the Rumble and like I'm just celebrating and then all of a sudden someone's coming in there and putting a mic in my face and telling me who I want to pick, let me breathe for a minute. Like, back up a little bit. Breaking news, Rockstar Spud is on my TV right now on 205 Live.
Oh, no. That's interesting. The new commissioner.
Okay, sorry to go off the subject, but yeah, I mean Ronda Rousey, I'm sure we'll get into it later. I mean, it was a surprise to me because like she literally flew to Colombia, and then I read that they flew her into Miami, and then from Miami she got a limo service to another airport and then brought her in somewhere else. I don't know. They really went all out to kind of hide her. So it was a shock to me, but then it just kind of faded away. And we'll get into that a little later on why it faded away. I mean, Cooter really went into a lot of the details, but it just kind of irked me a little bit.
I don't even know who's fighting who at WrestleMania, but what's a WrestleMania match for Ronda Rousey? Does it have to be for a championship, or can't she just fight somebody just because?
I would, for me, the money is, I think we all wanted to see Ronda Charlotte. And then I think when we didn't think we were going to get Ronda, we were like, okay, I would love to see Asuka Charlotte because it's just an incredible matchup. It's probably the two best performers they have in the women's division on both shows, in my opinion. But you kind of gave us both. And I'm like, well, I think for her first match, if it's going to be at WrestleMania, let's put the smart money on it being a triple threat. I say Charlotte Flair, Asuka, and Ronda, because I think if Ronda's going to be a dud and if she's not ready for a big WrestleMania match like that, well, hell, Charlotte and Asuka can, you know, at least make that match watchable with some spots, with their technical prowess, so on and so forth. And I'm telling you right now, if she doesn't get her shit together, wipe that fucking grin off of her face and start walking to the ring pissed off like she used to in UFC fights with that scowl and that fucking stare that would make my dick limper in fear of my life. Oof. Then, oh yeah, I mean, if that bitch stared at me now all pissed off, I don't think I would get an erection for a month because I think my penis would be scared.
Well, there you go.
Like, literally. I'm just saying that, but that's the truth. But that's the kind of facial expressions that she should be selling.
Yeah. Not like, I'm just happy to be here, Jason Jordan.
Yeah, let's. What are you going to do, manage Jason Jordan? And, oh, great. Let's get James Ellsworth to be her manager next, too.
All right, well, we still have yet to see what's going to happen because she wasn't even on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. They flew her back, I believe, to finish the movie or whatever she's doing right now. So I guess we'll find out in days, since she's a full-time WWE superstar now. But, you know, Asuka and Nakamura win their Royal Rumbles. First of all, you know, Nakamura, it was great. It was good to see somebody else win. You know, people were scared. We saw Roman Reigns. We could have been Roman Reigns. But, you know, I think Nakamura needed this a lot more than our Roman Reigns, I think. And maybe, I know Mike's probably got another reason why Roman Reigns didn't win, but, you know, it's good. I think they're finally seeing what the fans really want to see, Nakamura versus AJ Styles. That's a WrestleMania match. That's going to draw money. That's just going to be an amazing match, whether it's first or last on the show. So I'm excited that that's at least cemented for WrestleMania. On the other hand, man, I'm telling you, I said this online a lot, Asuka, I don't hate her. What I do hate is the streak. You know, ever since the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania, that was different. That's Undertaker. That's WrestleMania. That's an awesome event. When you build a streak behind somebody like this, and, you know, she went so far and so long in NXT to where she got injured and they just never took it off her. And then, you know, she never really passed it down to anybody. Comes into the main roster, still going on this streak. And it's like, I don't want to watch an Asuka match anymore because I know she's going to win. When she loses, give me a call, because then I'm going to be more interested to be who's going to win in this match. I'm just over seeing Asuka win. Like, that streak has to end. I thought a good place for it would have been the Royal Rumble. Maybe it's going to happen on this mixed match challenge, like a way for her just to lose something. I don't know. But at the end, I'll tell you what, even when it was down to her and the Bellas, it was just like, all right, we already know Asuka's winning. It was just, there was no suspense in that ending, and I thought they probably could have did a little bit better. But guys, what were your thoughts on the whole Nakamura and Asuka winning their respective Rumbles? I mean, like I said, I'm not up against Japs this week or anything like that. I know that's kind of – I'm happy about this, except for Oscar.
You just used a racial epithet. You just called them Japs.
It's short for Japanese. It's easier on the tongue.
So you don't want to go get Japanese food after the show?
See? Well, no. I already had Chinese food tonight, actually, believe it or not. That's kind of funny. But anyway, that's something regardless.
Different, completely. I'm not going there.
It's all the same. They all look the same to him, Mike. You know how it is.
Yeah. So I you know what? I mean, I predicted what the final four was going to be. It was going to be Nakamura, Balor, Cena, Reigns. I really wish that Cena didn't eliminate Balor. I wish he was in the final two, but either way, it still worked. It was best that Reigns didn't win the Rumble. I mean, we all know it's cemented. He's going to WrestleMania. He's going to face Brock Lesnar. I've learned to accept that. As much as I don't want to see that match, it's going to happen. It's out of our control. But having him win the Rumble in Philly, in Philadelphia, we all remember what happened. We all remember what happened the last time he won in Philadelphia. That place rioted. I mean, not to the extremes of burning cars and stuff like that, but they went pretty crazy about it. I mean, people were canceling the network. Now, we all saw what happened when the Philadelphia Eagles won the NFC Championship. They were rioting, and that was in a celebration of rioting. Just imagine when Roman Reigns wins the Rumble. That was going to happen times 10. But thank God they didn't do it. I said to myself, too, because the men's Rumble went on before the women's Rumble. It went on early. It went on at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, so I'm like, shit. They're putting this on early because Roman's going to win. That's what I said to myself, because they're not going to close the show with that. Yep. And then the whole Rumble, I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, if they have Roman win, these fans are going to hijack the rest of the damn show. There's so many instances where I thought Nakamura was going to get thrown out and it didn't happen. And Nakamura wins, and I'm like, whew. I actually jumped out of my couch because I was excited. And I knew Nakamura after that instant was winning, but I was just more excited that there's going to be nobody dying in Philadelphia on Sunday. When it comes to the Women's Rumble, I actually enjoyed the Women's Rumble. I thought it was great. Like you said before, when it was down to Asuka and the Bella Twins, it was so predictable. It kind of actually took away a lot of the mystique and the surprise of the Rumble. If it was down to Sasha and Asuka, then I would actually buy into the both of them possibly winning, because I read rumors that they were actually going to go with Asuka, and then I read other rumors that they were actually going to go with Sasha. So when you had those two being the final two, then I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting. But once it was down to the Bella Twins and Asuka, I'm like, all right, you know what? I could go to the bathroom. I could, you know, do something right now, because I already know she's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh boy, where do I start? Listen, I do have something that worries me for future women's Rumbles, because we're not going to keep inviting these legends to come back, are we? I mean, I think there were 18 confirmed people for the Rumble. We brought up some NXT people and a shitload of legends. Do we have enough legends to where it can be a different surprise every year? Or are we going to just start pulling you know, from NXT roster and maybe, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, are we going to be able to get 30 women in a Royal Rumble every year?
Yeah, that's a great point because, I mean, first of all, the guy surprises versus the women surprises. I mean, the women had a lot more surprises than the men. Basically, the men had Rey Mysterio, who is technically not even signed yet by the WWE. They're still working on that, so we don't know when we'll see him again. But Rey Mysterio, Cien Almas, the Hurricane, and Adam Cole. And I don't think there was any other real surprise for the men, just those four guys. But then the women had Trish, had Lita, who almost fucking broke her neck in the ring, Michelle McCool, Kairi Sane, Tori Wilson, Vicky Guerrero, Kelly, Jacqueline, Ember Moon, and the Bellas. That's like fucking half of the 30 women. You know, it was like you just said, Cooter, a lot of, you know, old school girls or whatever you want to call them, the vintage, whatever. I don't know. Can they do that again next year? Like, it's not going to be a surprise anymore, and they're definitely going to have to rely on others.
Let me say one thing about that. I'm glad that they did bring these legends in because, I mean, it being the first Women's Royal Rumble and being
Phoenix, too, I forgot.
That's correct. Being that it was a historic occasion, you know, it's like they were paying homage to the people who paved the way for today's stars. And I thought it was a very cool passing of the torch, especially with like Trish coming in 30 and putting on a pretty good show. I mean, a lot of those legends that came in, Beth looked great. I was completely impressed by Michelle McCool. Can we just put her back in the ring? But I mean, the pop of the night had to be when Trish and Mickie James saw each other and squared off in the ring. That looked fucking. I don't know too many people who were like, "Oh shit, here we go again." I mean,
both mothers too. By the way, she had just had a baby not too long ago too.
Yeah.
And man, I'll tell you what, I was surprised by Trish Stratus because she definitely did a lot more than I thought she was going to do. So I think everybody did pretty good as far as legends go. You know, just whoever went. But man, that Lita spot. Oh my gosh, I cringed. I thought she was going to land on her head.
Yeah, the one thing actually you bring up Lita, one thing I thought that was pretty cool is that they mentioned that she wrote a bunch of names on her left arm of the women who can't be there, the ones that passed away and the ones that literally can't be there. And what shocked me the most is as they were talking about that, Stephanie McMahon's on commentary and she goes, and don't forget the ninth wonder of the world, China. And I just kind of sat back in my seat like she really just addressed it. I mean, it's okay. She's dead, so we might as well bring her up.
Yeah. But, you know, it was definitely I like the Rumbles. They were both good. I think the very ending of the Women's Rumble kind of lost that steam because we still have no idea where they're going with it. I thought if they were going to even do that, they should at least given us some kind of answer or look ahead to what we expect. But all in all, let us know what you guys thought. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. Facebook us, tweet us, let us know your thoughts. Guys, you know, we were going to have something going good. We even kind of had it on the last show about Booker T or so, but Booker T is gone. Jonathan Coachman, the coach, is in for Raw commentary. Surprised or not, or was Booker just pissed off? What do you guys think?
Credo, this is 2 weeks in a row that we've had show bits destroyed by fucking WWE. I was going to start doing the fucking angry amore bit. And we were doing that fucking best of or worst of Booker. I could have swore I thought Booker was going to kill Corey Graves at the Rumble. Because Corey Graves was going so hard at Booker. He finally has to be like, yo, I'm out of here, sucker. Suckers got to know. But the fact that they brought in the coach, I love it. I thought it was great. And he kind of knew his role. He didn't try to overdo it and like, yeah, it's my first day back. Let me really make an impression. He's trying to ease his way in there. And this is something he hasn't done in a while. And I think he's going to do all right with some time.
You know, I mean, I rip Booger T all the time. I do. I thought he was horrible on commentary. But there was a part of me that actually missed him. I really did, because there's all these moments in Raw that kind of bores me, and then when Booger says something so stupid, it wakes me back up. So, like, I'm sitting here on my couch watching Raw, And I keep forgetting the Booker's not on commentary anymore, so I'm just waiting for something stupid to be said. Just so I could document that and bring it up on the show. And then I hear Coach's voice, and it's just like, like, it's just like, I'm going to miss him. Maybe put him on commentary on 205 Live. Maybe he could join that and make that a three-man booth. How entertaining would that be with the cruiserweights? Him just saying the dumbest shit ever.
You know, I got to say
him,
about
Nigel McGuinness Sparks and Vic Johnson.
Oh, my God. Let me say this in terms of Booker. I really think that, like, as much as he said some dumb shit, it got worse because of the way that fucking Corey Graves must have made him so nervous. Because a lot of times at the beginning where he could say something, a lot of times I felt Corey Graves would take it out of context. And if he was quick enough, he could have jumped right on Graves. Like, you made mention of the one where, oh, it's the first, we haven't had somebody since Ken Shamrock come over from MMA. Anyway, well, we have this guy like Brock Lesnar. Now, if I was Booker T, I would have been like, yeah, I went from MMA to wrestling. We had a pro wrestler go to MMA and dominate. So shut the fuck up. You know, there's just so many, like, he would jump on him for the littlest shit. And I think it just made it worse.
Yeah. I don't think he was nervous. I don't think nervous is the word. I think just commentary just isn't his thing.
Yeah.
It's just not. Yeah.
Well, either way, one guy is gone, another one is back. The landscape is definitely changing in the WWE for the new year. But guys, breaking news this week, the Dudleys joined Bill Goldberg into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Now, I ask this question every year, who's not in the Hall of Fame? And you have guys like the Steiners, the guys like there's a lot of names. There's a lot of names out there who are still not in the WWE Hall of Fame, and I don't hate the Dudleys, but why are they surpassing some of the greatest tag teams ever to get in right away?
Is it because they are the greatest? They're the greatest tag team of all time. They're the most accomplished tag team of all time. They were main eventing Raws with every star numerous occasions. They would work with Austin. They would work with everybody, dude. They've won titles in every fucking major promotion, Japan, everywhere. Like, tell me who has the accolades that the Dudleys have and tell me that you think the fucking Steiners should be in front of the Dudley boys? Are you drunk? That's my fucking job.
Well, you got the British Bulldogs, the Midnight Express.
How many tag team titles did the British Bulldogs win?
But still, Rockers.
What? What kind of a draw were they? Would you, if you're a fucking wrestling fan and say,
Heart Foundation.
Oh, look, the Dudley boys are on the fucking show. You're going to be like, oh, shit, that's cool. Like,
Demolition.
One of the greatest of all time. Demolition. Oh, my God. The British Bulldogs are headline. Dude, no. When did the British Bulldogs even do a main event? Never.
The Steiners?
Oh, great. Maybe they'll bring Matilda and I could give her a milk bone, faggot.
So you really would want to put Scott Steiner with a live mic? Yes. Or Dynamite Kid with a live mic?
Oh, God.
Hype
yeah.
Bomb.
That's going to be great. Listen, I mean, the Dudleys, I think they deserve it. I just hate how they put guys in the Hall of Fame so soon. Like, we just saw them.
Yeah.
Competing as a tag team less than a year ago, I want to say.
Even Raw 25, 2 weeks ago. But
we saw them on Raw 25, but they were just guests. Yeah. But they were on the roster about a year ago. I think they left right after WrestleMania, I believe. Give me some time away from them.
Yeah.
Like, give me some time to breathe so when they do come back, it's more exciting to me. But, I mean, WWE, they just have to pull the trigger so quickly. I guarantee you the day that John Cena retires, he's in the Hall of Fame in 24 hours, the way they move. But I really do – I truly – I don't want to take that away from the fact that the Dudleys do deserve this honor. I think they're one of the best tag teams, period. I really do. They won WCW titles, TNA titles, ECW titles, and 9-time WWE titles. tag team champions. So, I mean, they accomplished a lot as a team. So, yeah, they definitely deserve it. I just wish that they waited a while.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't hate them. I love the Dudleys. You know, I remember seeing them in Poughkeepsie, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center for ECW shows. I think Bubba Ray even landed on me when I was ringside. I mean, I don't hate it. I'm just always curious because the Dudleys are going to probably live a little bit longer than some of these other names who aren't in the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, you probably should get some of those other guys in there before you really can't get them in there anymore. But, I mean, regardless, the Hall of Fame is shaping up this year. The Dudleys will be joining Bill Goldberg for the class of 2018. Like I said, the landscape was changing. There's some new names happening in the WWE right now, and I think it's pretty much fair to say that, you know, it's pretty much TNA, has-beens, TNA, I don't know, scraps or something. Like, everybody's abandoning ship and they're landing in WWE's front door. It was announced this week, you know, Jeremy Borash was hired by the WWE. We don't know in what role yet, but he has been hired by them. Also debuting this week, Rockstar Spud, going by the name of Drake Maverick. He's going to be the new GM of 205 Live. TNA. They're taking over. Is this an inside invasion or what? What's going on?
I think the Jeremy Borash sign, if that's definitely going through, I think that's a huge grab for the WB because Borash is a guy of many hats. He can do many things. He could help out with creative. He can help out on TV. He could do announcing. He could do ring announcing. Behind the scenes, like I said, with creative. I mean, he helped the broken gimmick like take off. He was one of the guys who helped out with all those montages that he did at the Hardy compound and everything. So I hope they let this guy, Jeremy Borash, when he comes in, go in with an open mind and let him just speak and do what he does best. I hope they don't limit him like most people get limited to. We'll just see how it goes. But I think that's a huge signing right there for the WB behind the curtains.
Now, Cooter, what do you think about this Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud, as the new GM? I mean, for a lot of people who just don't know Rockstar Spud.
You fucking asshole. Get out of my fucking room. Listen, nobody gives a fuck about you. Get out of here. Shut the fuck up.
Anything can happen. 205 Live.
Oh, I thought I was muted. My fault.
205 Live, Cooter. Regardless, this is live, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to actual events happening on the show. Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud, his new name. He's the new GM of 205 Live, Cooter. For any casual WWE fan, who the hell is Drake Maverick to them? Who Nobody. Is this guy? Is this big for 205 Live? Is this who they needed or what?
Not as a GM? As a GM? Really?
Horrible.
You think we couldn't just put this guy in the ring? He's the GM?
This guy going to sell tickets or what?
Listen, I would have thought my money I would have put on like Rey Mysterio or some shit. But then once I saw him in the Rumble, dude, can we just segue real quick? Rey Mysterio in the Rumble, I've never seen him look better physically. He was in the best shape I've ever seen him in.
Yep.
Light, lean, fucking muscular. And I've never seen him that mobile since the WCW days. I mean, maybe not that mobile, but that's like the best I've seen him in his entire WWE career. Granted, it was a showing in the Rumble, but I mean, God, just had a nostalgic feel. Now back to Rockstar Spud. Fuck creative. 205 Live, fuck that shit. I love the show, but I want to see him in the ring. I don't want to see him as an on-air like GM. What's next? We're going to put fucking Matt Hardy in the division?
Well, funny note about Rey Mysterio, another little segue. As you can see, we're so entailed into this Rockstar Spud news that we have to keep going back. But Rey Mysterio has 6 million views on his debut in the Rumble. Yes. Over the 2 million views for Ronda Rousey. So I think WWE better take notice on who the fans really want to see, because that's kind of a big deal. But, I mean, still not signed. They still haven't worked out a deal. I think they need to dig a little bit deeper.
And I think
that cash cow.
I think that name Rey Mysterio would definitely help lift the 205 Live brand.
I thought that was going to be the thing for a GM, and then they come out with Rockstar Spud.
Well, I don't want to see Rey Mysterio as GM. I don't want to see him as GM. I want to see him competing. I'd rather see a guy who isn't a wrestler, you know, as GM. Like put Nigel McGuinness. That would be great. He was a great on-air personality for Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
Or, you know, fuck it, make Corey Graves.
They should have totally made 205 Live into like a Lucha Underground where Rey Mysterio comes in as the GM, but he also takes the championship and then he becomes that big, you know, untouchable wrestler and all the guys on 205 Live have to work their way up to fight Rey Mysterio. Anyway, that's just fucking, I don't know what the hell I'm thinking.
I mean, I think we'd all love to agree that I think initially we would have thought he would have made a great GM, but the fact that we saw him in that Rumble and he looked so good is like, damn, I'd love to see him on that brand now. But let's be realistic. Is he gonna be able to hold up on a long schedule and compete on a regular basis to where, like, oh my God, I stepped in between the ropes and blew out both my knees?
Well, that's the thing. I think he wants that in his contract to have those limited dates. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, Rey Mysterio has been wrestling for how long? I think you want those views. You want those numbers. Like, give the guy a break. He doesn't have to do every little house show in between. But just if you want some views, stick him on TV. But, guys, you know, all in all, it's been crazy, crazy news week. I think we said what we needed to say. But joining us right now is Bill DeMott. All right, joining us today is a former WCW and WWE superstar. He's also a former two-time U.S. champion. Bill DeMott is on the show today. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I understand you trained with Johnny Rods in New York City, but what led to that? What got you into pro wrestling, and why was Johnny Rods the place for you to start?
Well, I'm a Jersey boy, and Johnny Rods is still, after all these years at Gleason's Gym, and Johnny has made Gleason's Gym as famous as it is. He trained the best of the best. My dad was from Brooklyn. When I left college playing ball, long story short, my dad didn't, you know, there had to be something for me to do. So my dad brought me to Gleason's Gym. And at the time, we weren't in Gleason's. We were in the parking. It's now a parking structure, but it was a big warehouse right next to the Gleason's. And we went in and watched Johnny. He was putting some guys through their paces. One of the guys was Taz at the time. One of the other guys was Mondo Clean. But Johnny pretty much just said it wasn't for me. I was welcome to watch as long as I wanted. And, you know, that was the end of it. He kind of dismissed me. So I kind of took that as a personal challenge. 28 years later, I made a career out of it. It's no coincidence that my coach is in the Hall of Fame. Johnny, if you wanted to become a professional wrestler, part of the business, you had to go through Johnny Rods and Jose Estrada and guys like that. And so I feel like I had the best teacher around.
Definitely. Now, before making it to the bigger companies, you were competing in dangerous matches down in Puerto Rico and Japan under the name of Crash the Terminator. What was it like working those kind of matches and in those kind of countries? Because it's definitely a little bit different than the States over here, right?
Yeah, I went in there with no knowledge. I was so green. We were just hitting the ropes and having what I would consider just, you know, practice matches, and we got to tour a little bit in the Northeast Independence, you know, because back then you drove 8 hours for $10 and you tried to learn your craft. So I was in Puerto Rico and then Mexico and Japan. I had no idea what I was doing. So when they said, you know, barbed wire baseball bats and being lit on fire and chair shots to the head, I just thought it was all par for the course and just kept going with it. And next thing you know, I became one of those guys. You know, so it was, I think if you broke it down and said, this is what we're going to do, I probably would have had a different answer, but I wanted to learn and I took every opportunity for what it was. And I mean, it worked out okay.
Definitely. you worked in a lot of other companies like ECW, but how did you get a WCW contract? I from what I understand, you impressed Kevin Sullivan. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first got into WCW?
Yeah, I met Kevin. Kevin was a regular for the Wing promotion. and, you know, for other companies in Japan. And Kevin and I got to meet through there, and he saw me work. And, you know, I was just, you know, I was a 6'2", 350-pound guy who moved pretty good, and I was doing things that the luchadors were doing. And so there was a, back to that long story short, Vader and Orndorff got into a fight. Vader left the company. Sullivan called me on a Sunday night. The conversation pretty much went, "You still fat? You still wrestling? Be in Macon, Georgia tomorrow." I met Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and Kevin Sullivan in the Macon Coliseum restroom. We all shook hands, and I became part of WCW.
Awesome. Now, I've talked to a few guys about being in the WWE during the Monday Night Wars, but what was it like being in WCW at that time, especially when Nitro beat Raw in the ratings? Do you have any memories of that happening?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all you knew is you were winning. And for guys, I mean, let's be honest. I wasn't a main eventer. I wasn't on the top of the card. I was, you know, mid-card. And we knew what we were doing was working, and we were just, you know, hoping for the opportunities. But you sit back and listen and learn the business, and we knew we were winning. And then, you know, you kind of watch how that theory came about. And as we were winning, we saw how it changed. We kept trying to fix something that wasn't broken. So I was fortunate enough to be in the middle of all that. And I learned a lot about the business during that time. So I thought it was pretty cool that we were number one for as long as we were. And, I don't think in the history of the business anybody else could say they gave Vince a run like that. So yeah,
definitely. Now, eventually you made it in the WWE with the whole invasion angle. But I want to mention is that you've had a lot of WrestleMania moments behind the scenes producing matches. But can you tell us about your WrestleMania debut and how it didn't go according to plan? Can you tell us how about that little fallout happened with Shane McMahon?
Yeah, we got notified. It was myself and nine other people, I think. A total of 10 of us, I think it was. And I took a boat from Singapore into Houston at 4 o'clock in the morning so no one would see me. I think we all got brought in different goat buses and chicken buses, and they did everything they could to hide us. We stayed, I forget how many miles outside of Houston, away from all the WWE cats and away from anything that had to do with Mania. We were in a hotel, and, you know, it was just a guy who did an interview and was just excited and just told everybody who was going to be there. And as we found out the WWE way of doing things, that didn't float. And instead of being in the ring at WrestleMania 17 in Houston, standing right alongside of Shane McMahon, I sat next to Lance Storm in a blacked out skybox with moldy cheese and crackers.
Oh, man. It is what it is, right?
The part for me is, it, as you look back at it now, being whatever retired is and kind of out of things, as you look back at it, and that was my first WrestleMania moment. And if you take everything for what it is, as an old guy now saying it, then I didn't understand it. But if everything's a learning lesson, I produced matches at WrestleManias. I've been behind the scenes at WrestleManias after that. I've been fortunate through and through in my career. So it's just funny that that's your first WrestleMania moment.
For sure. What are your thoughts, too, on Bill Goldberg was recently he's going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Since I believe you were the first wrestler that he fought on TV for his, the beginning of his streak. Do you have any thoughts on Bill Goldberg going into the Hall of Fame?
I loved it. We heard the news. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Bill and I are buddies. I think the world of Bill, and whenever we do get a chance to pass in the night or meet up at some of these conventions, it's always a great time. I sent Bill a message congratulating him. He actually sent me a message congratulating me back. So that's the kind of guy he is. You remember for, what you're remembered for is what people go by. And if I'm remembered for being his first match, then so be it. The guy's in the Hall of Fame, justifiably so, and I'm happy for him.
Definitely. And lastly, you were there when FCW was branded into NXT, and a lot of top talent we see today, you had a hand in developing. What was it like to go from being a wrestler to being a trainer? Did you like doing that more than the other, or compared to training and wrestling?
Yeah, I just thought it was one and the same. I thought if you were wrestling, you should always be training. And the guys that I always surrounded myself with, whether I was in Japan or Mexico or Puerto Rico or even, you know, in WCW, just because you were, quote unquote, you made it as a wrestler didn't mean you weren't training. So I just thought it was a natural progression for me. And, you know, it's the saying is those who can do and those who can't coach. So I just found myself, the more, you know, the more time I had in it, that was just my niche. I think Tough Enough helped with that progression and things like that. But I love training guys. I love to see the, you know, how they do it and how they get there. And I really think the training part of my career will have more memories than my in-ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I dig it. I dig the training part. Don't get me wrong. Anytime you can lace them up and be in front of 20,000 people, that's the most awesome thing ever.
Definitely. Well, yeah, once again, everybody, Bill, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Again, I always appreciate the wrestling community support and everything I do. Thank you.
We're on the road to WrestleMania. A lot of things are going to happen from now till then. But first and foremost, you know, the Royal Rumble happened this weekend. We saw kind of the stepping stones of what we might see at WrestleMania, or who knows what we're going to see just yet. But first and foremost, guys, what I want to do is I'm going to talk about these few individuals. And I kind of want you to give me your take on what's going to happen next in your mind, or, you know, pretty much what you want to happen and maybe what you think's ultimately going to happen. But how can we book these guys on the road to WrestleMania to where we can all enjoy it? First and foremost, let's get right into Finn Balor. He was tossed out of the Royal Rumble. He was number two in, probably spent the most time in it than anybody, and was tossed out by John Cena. Following night on Raw, has a match against John Cena and loses to John Cena. Finn Balor losing twice this weekend, or this week, to John Cena, technically. Guys, what's the road look like to WrestleMania for Finn Balor? I mean, he just had the steam picking up, too, with the club finally being reunited. We thought we were going to get some more steam under him, and what are we going to get? We get him losing to John Cena. What do we do with him on the road to WrestleMania?
I feel like every night that Finn Balor has a night of his career, the following night on Raw, they just job him out to somebody. You know what? I don't even know who came up with this idea of booking Cena versus Balor. Maybe they were just so desperate for ratings. But this match should never have happened. These two, who are John Cena, you know, he is who he is, the face that runs the place, considers himself the best. Okay, well, you're the best. You're the number one seed, I guess. And Finn Balor, who can be considered the number two seed. You never see the number one and the number two seed face each other the first round of a qualifying in a tournament. It just doesn't work. If you want star power in that elimination chamber, you put those guys in the opposite ends of the brackets and bring them both into the elimination chamber to bring more of a power of a name behind that match. If Balor was going to lose to Cena, I would rather have seen him lose in the chamber, get eliminated by Cena in the chamber match, because Cena was the guy that eliminated him from the Rumble, causing him to not be able to go to WrestleMania. Now, Balor has the second chance, and he's in the chamber match, and Cena eliminates him again. That's a perfect story to write right there. And then you have Cena get jumped by the Balor Club, Balor turns heel, and then you have your WrestleMania program. But instead, for some reason, I don't know what it is that Vince has against Finn Balor, besides the fact that he's not a big sweaty man, and like a Lesnar or Braun Strowman, and he jobs out the John Cena, which it made no sense whatsoever. And I don't know where Finn Balor goes from here. I don't know if – I mean, you can still do a John Cena versus Finn Balor program at WrestleMania, but you have so much time from now to the Elimination Chamber that Vince will probably just change his mind, because you have too much time going on right now. So
yeah.
I'm clueless. I just hope that they, you know, get it together and do something for this guy, because at the end of the day, he's one of the best in-ring guys they have on the roster.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Angry Cooter, how about this scenario too? Because, okay, Finn Balor lost in the Rumble. Finn Balor lost against Cena. Some people are even thinking, okay, does this constitute that we bring out the Demon? Can the Demon get a spot in the Elimination Chamber? Does it even make sense at this point? I don't know. How do you see this road for Finn Balor and maybe the Demon appearing anytime soon?
You know what? The best thing for Balor, honestly, get him as far the fuck away from that shovel as you possibly can. Because I got that bad feeling. And it's just, you're going to put him in a match against Cena again at Mania or some shit like that if we don't get a Samoa Joe. Do you really think John Cena is going to put him over? And even if he does, I feel like he definitely got hurt by that loss on Raw. He doesn't seem credible unless we're going to get the Demon at WrestleMania. Here's what I propose. And I think, because I worry about what happens after that. Because quite honestly, the Demon beating John Cena does nothing for me. And we've seen the whole club versus John Cena when he did it with AJ Styles. Now is Finn Balor going to start saying, beat up John Cena? I mean, we've seen the shenanigans already. Mm. So why don't we put him in a program against The Miz? And then you have The Miz Tourage. And then you have, you know, the Good Brothers. Mm-hmm. So you have them do a match at the next pay-per-view. Screw job. Finn Balor loses the match. And then we have a fucking six-man tag at fucking Mania. Balor Club versus The Miz Tourage.
Not even the IC Championship, though?
I would, if you're going to do it at Mania, I would do it for the IC Championship. Don't put the IC Championship on the back burner. That title has to be defended. But here's the thing. I mean, I like the idea with The Miz. The only issue is his daughter is due around WrestleMania. He might not even be there.
Hmm.
So that's missing an issue. Bro.
Give him Vince's jet.
Fly him in.
WrestleMania.
Bring the damn door.
WrestleMania. Deliver that baby in the ring.
Can we just do a whole show of us doing
that's
Vince?
That's a WrestleMania match.
We'll have the best doctors for Maurice backstage there, pal.
If she doesn't push out that baby before Mania, Vince is going to pay to have that bitch induced in the ring. She's pushing that baby out in the middle of the Mercedes Superdome. That little Miz baby is going to be born.
Little Miz baby. One more time, you know, Finn Balor. He's on his way to WrestleMania, guys. Final words on Finn. I mean, I personally want to see the Demon back more often than what it really is, because he was doing, you know, every match of his in the Indies and New Japan or whatnot, he was always coming out in body paint. I want to see more of that in 2018. Like, I get he's with the club and whatnot, but I feel like every pay-per-view match has to be with paint. Bring that back, man. That was special to Finn Balor, and I feel like they don't want to do it anymore. But that's what I want to see with him on his road to WrestleMania.
I hope he has a match at WrestleMania. I hope he's not thrown in Andre the Giant Battle Royal, because I would just – I've been waiting for years to see that Demon entrance at WrestleMania, because I know it's going to be 10 times more special than any TakeOver event he's done because it's WrestleMania. So I'm just so interested to see how they're going to do it. They're going to put the money into that entrance. I just hope that he has a match, and I hope it's a credible match too.
I got nothing else. You got my shitty booking sheet and, you know, my armchair quarterbacking, so fuck off.
All right, guys. Well, two guys that really, I don't know what the path is really going to be for them at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, decorated WWE champion as he is, with Sami Zayn. I mean, Sami's kind of been riding the KO coattails, teaming up with him. Making Sami relevant again, if you will, with Kevin Owens. But guys, I mean, you go from a universal you go from an Intercontinental champion to a Universal champion. You know, Kevin Owens has held pretty much almost every title, almost. But now going into WrestleMania season, I feel like he's an afterthought. How do you save Kevin Owens for the road to WrestleMania? What kind of match were we going to see Kevin Owens put in at WrestleMania? What do you guys see anything on the forecast that we're going to, I don't know, possibly get out of these two at least?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I mean,
no, that's just the fucking internet marketing me going, yeah, bro, that's a great fucking idea. Honestly, I have no idea what they have in store for him. And I like that. I like the fact that for once in my life, I'm like, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, 90% of the time I'm right. So fuck wherever this goes, let it go. I've been enjoying, the entire story of Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. And now how we've brought Daniel Bryan into this and Sami Zayn into this. It's just made it more compelling for me. It's not getting stale, really. So where it goes from here, I don't know, but I really don't care. I'm enjoying it.
You know, I would say that that would be great for Daniel Bryan because putting him in a tag match can protect him.
Yes.
But you got to remember who his partner is. The man of a million flurry punches, Shane McMahon. The world's greatest flurry punch, as I like to say sometimes, too. I mean, the guy can't wrestle. He can do big spots. He can't wrestle. I mean, he had a great match with AJ Styles, but AJ Styles can make anybody look good. It just stands out to me with a guy like Shane McMahon. I was like, what is he gonna do? Is he gonna the end? Like in my predictions for 2018, is he gonna jump off the Mercedes Superdome to have that big WrestleMania moment? I mean, he would die.
Well, back on track though with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, in the end, do you think they'll even split up this friendship to have a Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn kind of a match at WrestleMania? Is that worth it, or is it too soon to break them up, kind of a thing?
You can't do it. I mean, those two were their rivalry on the indie scene, and then they did it perfectly in NXT, and they even started it out perfectly when they first came to the main roster. Mm. But then they did it too much, and they did it pretty much. They were wrestling each other every day on Raw, I felt like, and then it kept going and going and going. And then when they moved to SmackDown, they had a couple matches there, and it kind of took away that like feeling of these guys being like one of the best rivalries. And now they're together as a team, and when you break them up, it's just not going to have that same feeling as it did like on the indie scene in Ring of Honor when Kevin Owens kicked El Generico in the balls. Yeah. Might I add, El Generico died in a fire in Mexico saving orphans. But we're talking about Sami Zayn here. And it's not going to have that same feeling like last year for the Festival of Friendship. It's just not going to be the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'll go out there and they'll steal the show because those two, when they really are just allowed to just go out there and wrestle, they'll steal the show. They're amazing in the ring together when they're not limited. But I don't know if it's going to have that same magic.
No, definitely. Well, it's kind of sad in a way to where like Kevin Owens really on top of the world with where he was with the Universal Championship, moved over to SmackDown, not really in the WWE contendership anymore, and definitely not going to be till at least after WrestleMania. So it's kind of interesting to see how they'll use these guys on their road to WrestleMania. But guys, one guy who really haven't seen since he been injured, it was since he got injured and had to forfeit the WWE Championship, Seth Rollins, man, he's had, I feel like, that scarlet letter of, we can't really give him too much anymore because as soon as he got injured, never really hopped back into that main event picture with that championship, well, especially since it's been on Brock Lesnar quite a while. But, you know, tag team championships with Jason Jordan will go down in the history books as the most thing. Why would they even want to do this? But they lost it. And now we're back again, you know, no Dean Ambrose, maybe no Jason Jordan. Seth Rollins, I mean, this guy was the reincarnation of HBK, people were saying, just his style and what he was doing. How do you waste talent like this, and what do you do for WrestleMania? Because I think one of the only good predictions people were saying were, if anything, you could have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins since he eliminated him in the Rumble kind of a thing. But even then, I mean, is that a WrestleMania-worthy match if they'd really have to get moving on that angle? But Seth Rollins, poor Seth Rollins.
You know, I thought, like, you know, with the video game that came out and he had that vigilante type gimmick going on in the game, I thought they were going to translate it well to the main roster and give him something new to work with. And I don't know if they actually tried or they didn't try. I can't really tell, but I could tell you right now what they have going from right now is just not working. I'm just not buying into it. I mean, at one point, I thought he was saved with this reincarnation of the Shield, but then that failed. And then, you know, he had this thing with Jason Jordan, and that obviously failed. I mean, I personally wasn't buying into it. So I don't know. Maybe keep him off the TV for – well, you don't want him to miss WrestleMania. But if it wasn't near WrestleMania, I'd say keep him off TV and just have him come back as like this I want to – and I hate to kind of take stuff from the past, but – have him come back like this dark vigilante type character, like how Sting did, or like how AJ Styles did when he was gone for a while on TNA, and then he just came back with this new music and just like a black hoodie and all that stuff. It worked. Maybe that something like that could work for Seth. But for WrestleMania, if they're gonna do something like that, they better start now. They got I don't know how many days they have. You know, it's 2 months maybe, probably. A little less than that, actually. But it's just sad because the guy is amazing in ring. And I don't think creative has an idea what they're going to do with him.
I don't know what to fucking do with him, Credo. I'll be honest with you. I look at a guy and I think, what could I use you for? And with Seth Rollins, I just don't see it. I mean, my one idea would be to put him in a team with Reigns and have him go after the bar and get those tag titles back, because I think of the original incarnation of the Shield, it was Reigns and Seth who got the tag belts while Ambrose had the U.S. title, if I'm not mistaken.
U.S. title.
Right. So and, you know, I think that would be cool, and it would get Roman away from Brock, you know.
Well, what about if I entice you with why not put Seth Rollins, get him out of this Jason Jordan fucking hell trap, though what it is, and put him in a program with The Miz? Hell, I would love to see a Seth Rollins Intercontinental Champion. And, you know, if they leave Finn Balor away from him and doing something else with somebody else, you know, you could have a Seth Rollins program possibly with The Miz. I mean, that would probably be a great WrestleMania match. How do we get there? I mean, we gotta do a little jump through a few hoops and whatnot, but I don't know. I think that for me, if we're gonna save Seth Rollins as he is, you gotta get him back up there. And I think you can't just throw him into the Universal title picture right away, since you do have guys like Finn Balor who still haven't had their rematch. And just start him off small, get him on that Intercontinental Championship level, and then from there keep on moving up. But it's the road is a little bit foggy right now, but we're kind of hoping on wishful thinking from some of our ideas, but I guess we'll actually see what happens down the line. But what are your WrestleMania plans? What's your road to WrestleMania look like with Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins? Hopefully it's a good one. Let us know. Tweet us, Facebook us. Hit up anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find all the links all over the page. Check it out. Guys, we're on that road. Are you ready?
Don't never ever fucking interrupt me when I'm recording again, asshole. You haven't done the show for a fucking month. So when you're here, we don't want you. And when we want you, you're never here. So what the fuck good are you?
Fuck off. You're acting crazier than Credo after the Japanese dominated both Rumbles.
Well played.